This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, Ned. Yesterday I got a slightly troubling email. Well, I and every single other person in the office, an all Canberra staff email, was sent around by Karen here at work.
Yeah.
Who I really like. She has the same name as my mum, so she's already on my good side.
She's a young Karen, too. You don't often see a lot of young Karens.
Young Karen.
She's flying the flag for Karens under the age of 30.
Exactly right. So Karen's lovely. She's always really nice. She sent out an email yesterday of something she'd done that was quite nice. There was a bunch of apples in the staff room. Actually, I'll read you this because
past kind of tense, probably more appropriate.
This kind of sets the scene. This is the way she worded this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at precisely 2:43 p.m., I fled the building after having stolen most of the green apples from the kitchen. After arriving home with my plunder, I was so overcome with guilt over what I'd done, and I sincerely hope that you can all forgive me for this heinous act of thievery. And then goes on to say how she cooked an apple pie and has brought that into work.
With her guilt, she bought an apple. It's a very funny way.
Yeah.
I thought a very funny narrative way of telling us that she wanted to bake an apple pie. She noticed that the apples are all starting to get a little bit rotten.
Old.
So why not just take them before we throw them out and turn them into an apple pie.
Lovely gesture. It is nice. Her mum also, she put a little disclaimer at the end saying her mum made the pie. It's not her.
Oh, right. Well, still, that's still fine.
They're still pies. The end product is still the same.
We've got apple pie in the kitchen. What is your possible problem with this?
Okay, so
and read the TLDR thing because I thought that was very funny. At the bottom, she's put too long, didn't read.
Yeah, and TLDR, I stole the green apples and now there is apple pie in the kitchen.
Very funny. That made me laugh out loud.
Here's my problem, all right? And there is one, and it's pretty sizable. I love apples.
Mm-hmm.
I do like apple pie.
Yep.
But you know, I need to be in the mood for apple pie. No one was asked, especially not me, whether or not I would like apple pie over apples. It's been taken, she said herself twice, this is thievery. It's been replaced with something else that a lot of people would consider better. And I'm not saying I'm not saying it's not
better. Did you have any of the apple pie?
I haven't had any yet because I didn't see any, so it's probably all gone.
But you're saying you wanted an apple?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
How many apples went into this pie?
I don't know.
If we're hitting some kind of quota, if she's saying, is it all right if I take 5 apples? That's okay. But if she's taking 7 apples for this pie, that's too many apples for one pie.
Quick question.
What?
When did you become the pie president of the building? The apple king of the building. When did you become in charge?
Yeah, I'm not the pie president. I'm a pie constituent, and I would like some questions answered as
Producer
to
Morgan,
why.
Could you please come down to the studio? I know Producer Morgan had some of the pie, so let's find out now whether
ends
justify the means, because apparently I think it was a good pie.
I don't care whether
the pie.
Yeah, me neither. So that's what I'm saying. She's taken 7 apples, and she's come back with a pie that neither you or I have had.
I don't think Producer Morgan's listening.
I don't think she's coming down. I really don't.
This will go unanswered. We don't know whether or not the pie was good.
And I can tell you what would have been nice. A little apple for little old Ned. And instead, I'm 8 apples down and 0 pie in hand.
You are...
What?
Impossible to please.
I just want an apple. Is that too much?
Then go buy an apple.
Well, I don't want to do that much.
Love junk food. The office never provides any of that. There's only free coffee and free fruit. How about we get some free Smith's potato chips? What about that? Let's do that, office.
Yeah, what about all the biscuits you eat?
Yeah, we do get free assorted creams. That's a good point.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a cat that lives in Britain. No, he doesn't. He lives in China. He's a British.
He's
a British short hair.
I was going to say, when you said there's a cat, I was going to say, does he have a hat?
No.
Didn't realize you were more concerned with his geographical location.
No, he's a British short hair. He lives in China. Yep. His name's Mai Mai. And Mai Mai, has he gotten up to some mischief? Because there is a... in the house that Mai Mai lives in, there is a 3D... like, you know how they do the photorealistic painting sometimes?
Yeah.
That look absolutely incredible.
And they, like, look at you from everywhere in the room. Like, they're, like, kind of like a holographic thing. Yeah.
Exactly right. So, the owners of Mai Mai have a 3D lifelike painting of a fish, a tuna, I think it is. And Mai Mai will not stop, despite the fact they've moved it around different parts of the house. They've hidden it. Will not stop licking this painting. he just goes up to it no matter where it is, and he will lick it, lick it, lick it, because it's got...
It's like, a fish.
It's a fish. Yeah. It's got glass in front of it, so he's never, like, hitting canvas, so it wouldn't be hurting his tongue. It would just taste like nothing, I would
probably
imagine.
Probably enjoys the sheen.
Yeah.
You know, like, now he's worked out that it's not a fish, but he's like, oh, that just still feels nice.
Maybe even the cat thinks that that it is licking it because it's so soft and slick.
Yeah.
And the cat's tongue so rough. It's like...
And because he probably has cat food, which has got a bit of fish quality to it, he's then licking up his own licking.
And
so he's like, oh, it does taste like fish.
You think he's getting... aftertaste.
Yeah. From his own food. That's pretty gross.
He's got acid reflux.
I think my is literally tricking himself into thinking that is a real fish.
I do love it that they can't get him to stop doing this.
That makes me laugh. Yeah. The idea that you just can't stop your animal from doing something.
Like it was up just above like an entrance table. You know how people have those, and my would jump up on the entrance table, lick it. They put it on a bench somewhere. He jumped up on the bench, would start licking it. Then they put it like behind a shelf somewhere, and he found it, started licking it.
I mean, if I was family friends with this family, I would probably say to them, what's the attachment to the picture?
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Just throw away the picture.
The easy way to stop this from happening is to remove the weird holographic fish.
I figured it out. It's because the lady who owns my painted it.
Ah, very good.
So I would imagine she's like, this looks amazing. I want to keep it.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, too.
It is funny when you have something around your house that just amuses your pet and for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have at home, my parents moved. So my old house, my childhood house, we have like a ducted vacuum.
Yeah.
So the vacuum goes through the roof.
Yep.
And it just means there's a ginormous hose just lying around at all times.
Okay.
The cat would wrestle with the hose like it was a king cobra constantly. We'd move it, it'd drag it back down off the wall. Yeah. It was like its enemy because the hose for the vacuum had like a weird sort of fabric wrap around.
Yeah.
So it like got its claws in that.
Yeah.
It really loved it. It would do battle with this hose.
That's pretty funny.
And we could hide it in a cupboard and somehow the hose would come back out.
131060, get on the phone and tell us what dumb thing amuses your pet.
Okay, yep, that's great.
My
dog, I like that.
Tex used to, you know, snakes that go to stop drafts indoors?
Yep.
Like we had like a beanbag one at our old house and he'd just stamp on it. Because it was full of like beans and rice
just
or whatever.
He enjoyed that on
and
his paw.
He'd just stamp on it. He wouldn't bite it or lick it or anything. He'd just stamp on it because it'd go like...
Have you got a cat that enjoys like an iPad app?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that before. Anything like that, we want to hear from you this morning. What dumb thing amuses your pet?
Yeah.
Please let us know this morning because these stories have the potential. I'm already loving the one about my mice. So we have a potential here for some goldmine stories. Do you have something dumb in your house that amuses something dumb in your house?
Mm.
Your pets.
Please.
Let us know.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Julie's on the line from Garen. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank
you. Julie.
Do you have something that is a bit silly that amuses your pet?
Yeah, so it's technically not my pet. It's my girlfriend's pet.
Mm-hmm.
She'll often bring her dog over for play dates with my dog.
Yeah.
But instead of playing with my dog, her dog will just sit and stare at my actual real life fish.
You also just likes the fish tank.
Yeah,
so my fish tank. He just sits there and stares at it the entire time.
Have you ever thought of getting your girlfriend like her own fish tank so that this dog can be just happy all the time?
I've thought about it on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, like, one of those little robotic fish.
Yes, oh, yes,
I always
yes.
think to get him one.
It makes sense to me, though, Julie, because, like, as humans, we, like, pay to get fish top, like, the fish tank desktops that just move around.
Yeah.
We do this.
I do this.
You do
this. I love a fish tank desktop. There used to be a TV channel that would just show a fish tank. This is fine.
You should put your friend's dog to work. Get it to do, like, meaningless tasks, like write emails out and stuff like that, if it's already looking at a desktop wallpaper.
Yeah, obviously, this is where I was going. All you need to do, Julie, is actually just get like Windows 98 and then this dog will be in heaven.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, flies.
Mm-hmm.
An annoyance of summertime.
Of course. Annoyance of any time.
We're an inland city, so we get the flies. It's pretty annoying.
Why do we get a fly?
You were saying you got a lot at your house at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think because there's a dog that lives next door to me and there's a lot of food that's left at the house. Yeah. And so there's flies congregating, or I stink. It's either one of them.
It could just be because it's hot and you know, true, the flies around about in abundance.
Yeah. And I think there's also a bit of shade where my apartment is, so they might enjoy the shade. I don't know what goes on in a fly's brain. I don't think they even have brains.
They do. Yeah, there's a thing here that has started on the internet to gain some traction. People are saying this works flawlessly.
A hack.
Apparently, what you're supposed to do to keep flies away is hang a clear plastic bag full of water, from a high spot in your outside, maybe your patio or you know the window that leads into your
washing
house,
line or something
like that, and then put coins in the bottom of it. And so what happens is the reflection of the coins combined with the water fragments puts out a big projection of like water ripples on the ground.
Yeah.
And apparently the flies don't like that. They don't like the colors. They don't like also the idea that there's a big body of water nearby.
Yeah.
Flies don't like that. So that this works. Apparently it's flawless.
I would think it would attract mosquitoes, because don't mosquitoes
they
like
love a
water?
Bit of water.
Yeah, so
water's essentially their Playboy mansion. They love water.
It's their grotto.
Yeah.
I think I would prefer flies to mosquitoes, because at least flies kind of leave you. They're annoying, but they don't actually drain your blood and spread disease.
No, flies are annoying. They don't ever make you itchy, though, and that's something that I think's good.
Why'd you say that I could do it and not other people could do it?
So, you can do this, and this is a cautionary tale for me. I live in an upper floor apartment building.
Yeah.
And I can't do this because if this was to fall off my balcony,
it gets pretty windy, depending
on how high you are up, coins can a whole bag of water and coins falling.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't worry about the coins. Worry about the bag of water.
That's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I think this is a dangerous thing waiting to happen. You're on the ground floor, so you'd be fine. If you're in a house, this is also a great idea.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Canberra's got a lot of apartment buildings, a lot of high rise residents. A lot of them are getting quite tall. Don't do this if you're on an upper floor balcony.
It can also get very windy in Canberra.
Yeah, 100%. This is a bad idea for people who live in balconies.
So, what are we saying? Don't do it if you live high up. And if you're walking around high-rise buildings, keep an eye up.
No, I'm going to say if you live in a high-rise building, make it so people don't have to do that. Don't do it. Okay. Just don't do it.
But we can't.
We've got to cap it out. Yeah. I'm going to say three stories up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anything more than three stories up, don't hang a bag of water in your balcony.
Just do treat your neighbor how you'd like to be treated. Mm. Would you like a bag of water to hit you on the head from 12 stories up?
Yeah.
No. That's fine.
Maybe it's a giant water balloon. But at the same time, the coins are probably still going to hurt. So maybe use 10-cent pieces, not 50-cent coins. That's another part of the rule. Very good. Good luck keeping flies away this year, guys.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, down in Tasmania, there was a little bit of an occurrence that led to a fire. Everyone's okay. No one's hurt. Everyone's good. There was a fire at a salmon farm.
Okay.
Which is confusing because it's on the water.
Yeah. I'm always confused when there's fires at like fisheries and stuff. It happens because they have
it's machinery.
Yeah, but it's still confusing because
it gets to the water and it's
like
done.
An aquatic center when there's a fire. You're like, how did that happen?
I tell you who is the best for, because it stops right where they live, is the fish.
Yeah.
So essentially everything above water that was keeping them contained in this farm burnt and they all escaped.
So what? They all escaped?
Well, not all of them. Well, actually, I don't know how many. Maybe it was all of them. Between 50 and 52,000 salmon escaped.
So were they in like a netted off part of a river?
Yeah, so like the way a farm works is they're out on a lake, but it's like netted off and just swim around. And there's like, they just swim around in these nets and stuff. And then they get farmed and then that's how salmon get caught.
Yeah, but they didn't escape onto land.
No, they escaped because that's it. Essentially, the netting above the thing caught on fire, which meant the netting dropped. And all of these salmon just were like, oh my God, we're out.
Freedom.
Scot-free.
Yeah, wow.
How exciting for those salmon.
They're pretty exciting.
They didn't know that they could go outside, and there are 50,000 of them and escaped.
It's the salmon shank redemption.
It really is. But instead of just one dude escaping, it's all of them escaped.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is fantastic news. Now they're off swimming around Tasmania, loving life, just a salmon aplenty. The guy who, Huon Aquaculture chief executive came out and was like, yeah, look, they've escaped.
It's not good.
This is a quote from him, escaped salmon typically don't last long, unfortunately. What the seals don't get, the fishermen quickly do.
Oh, wow.
So instead of being in this farm protected, obviously it's not great for these salmon, but whatever.
They're eventually going to end up as food.
Yeah. Now they're going to be ripped apart by seals or caught by fishermen.
I mean, they are going to enjoy.
I guess it's just the natural selection of things. So seals, that's what usually happens to them out in the wild. But like now seals are going to have at them. Fishermen are going to have at them. It really is like you've escaped and now you're, you know how like those prisoners escape from Alcatraz on that boat
and then they're
that
still
built?
Out in the middle of the ocean. You're out the water.
The ocean. Yeah. And then once you get to San Francisco, every cop in the area is looking for you.
Yeah.
So it's not great.
This is a real shame.
Yeah.
This is a real shame for those salmon. It's also a real shame for our listenership because at this point this morning, all you needed to say is 50,000 salmon have escaped in Tasmania. And I'm pretty sure there are a few fishermen listening to this that didn't even rate for the rest of the story. Like, where's the plane ticket? Yeah.
Get us on the plane.
Webjet. Somebody bring up Webjet on the computer.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, it is hot. Summer very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Getting towards the end of the year.
We are. Yes, we're very close.
Which is why I have absolutely had enough of our weekly staff meeting here at work.
Yeah, me too.
We're not learning anything new from it.
Well, I don't think we're...
We're now just swimming around in the waters of everyone's checked out.
Yeah.
So why are we doing it still?
It's a great question. We had one yesterday. We're spending
literally 40 minutes congratulating people that don't really deserve to be congratulated for anything.
Okay,
and
well,
it's
hang
just
on.
Literally. And by the way, you and I got congratulated on the weekend for, on the last staff meeting for attending a meeting.
That's
all
right.
We did was attend a meeting.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the congratulations, but even I thought it was, I'm like, I didn't do anything.
This is a bit silly.
Yeah, I just had free food.
It doesn't seem like any, there should be one final one, and it's like, hey, here's when everyone's finishing.
It's a Christmas party. Just the Christmas party.
And
now
Christmas
at this
party,
point,
right.
we've just got the Christmas party.
Well, our Christmas party's like not next week, the week after.
Yeah, done. Good. There's no more staff meetings until then.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing new for us to learn until then.
What about, okay, so let's come to some kind of happy medium if this is going to be, if we're going to roll this out as a rule.
Yeah.
What about after the Christmas party, no meetings? So there's only.
Well, then let's have the Christmas party today.
Only two more meetings. They
let's
only
head
go for like
stadium
half an
golf
hour.
And have our Christmas party today.
But after the Christmas party, you could argue that no one cares.
I'd argue no one cares now.
Yeah, I know.
I'd argue no one sort of cared for the last fortnight. I think we can smell summer in the air, and everyone's just like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. We know what the drill is in the office, pretty much.
I would argue that they never matter. And I've never learnt anything from them.
No,
but I'm saying for the facade of business...
I'm not even going to go in that far, you know?
Times where I've joined the meeting, especially, God, this year has been awful in nearly every way, but in a good way, I can join Zoom meetings and then just put myself on mute and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just go and do other things. At one point, I got my sunglasses fixed while I was on a Zoom meeting with work.
Yeah.
So I would argue we don't need a meeting ever. But I'm saying, clearly, we've got to keep up appearances. We've got to seem like we're all connected. So I'm happy to do it until the Christmas party.
If you're an office leader and you're in charge of the weekly staff meeting, just consider the need for them at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'd say as an employee, I've firmly checked out.
Yeah.
But one thing I'd also say is next year, because obviously we're doing quite well here in the ACT, find a room big enough to hold them in person.
Yeah.
Because the Zoom meeting thing, I think every employee is potentially well over it.
It's running thin. Look,
staff meeting conducted well in person with some showmanship from a charismatic leader.
Yep.
I'll sit through that for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But Zoom? No. The internet's there for me. There's way too many other options.
You can also bully people into stop talking if it's in person. You can be like, roll your eyes at something someone says, or like, go like, God, look at your watch a bunch. On Zoom, that doesn't apply.
No.
Because they can just
turn your screen off.
That's it. You don't get the in-face pestering that you do with an in-staff meeting.
It would be a nightmare for anybody from any kind of a department who's having to sit there through staff meetings from their superiors over the internet at the moment, who doesn't. He's trying to, through the camera, express, please wrap this up.
Yeah, please get it over with.
You just hear the manager go, excuse me, Jeffrey from IT.
Yeah.
Will my webcam still work if I turn the monitor off so I can't see any of you and all of your disapproving looks?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a lady on Facebook Marketplace who was trying to sell one of her children's old gaming consoles.
Yeah,
Sega Mega Drive. The ones you used to play Sonic the Hedgehog on.
So very old console.
A very old console. Sold it to a guy on Facebook Marketplace. No bother. $25. Easy done.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Especially if it's in good condition.
Exactly right. She's gone to pick it up. She's gone, yep, that feels about right. Wait. Cool. No worries. Hand it to the guy. Gets a message that night saying, don't know how, why. Mainly those two. You've accidentally sent us a dildo and a sock.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just,
really don't know what you were considering saying rather than
because
that.
Because it's called a jumping rabbit.
No, okay.
And I was considering saying that or the word I used, and I ended up doing both.
No, look, you really did.
It was just in a sock.
That's a strange... Is a Sega Mega Drive shaped like a joystick? Is that...
No.
No. So that's a...
She didn't look at it at all.
Oh, weight thing. It was like, in a box.
That's what I mean. Should have been more specific. She picked it up and was it was weighted the same way and was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's fine. Handed it to the guy and he was like...
So I live in an apartment building with a garbage chute.
Yeah.
All right. This isn't important to the story, but it is kind of, right?
Yeah.
I check militantly what I'm throwing down that.
Of course.
In case I accidentally, because I usually use shopping bags and then fill them and put it in the garbage chute.
You don't want to make sure there's something's in there.
I don't want to pick up a shopping bag that has other stuff in it and accidentally throw that down the garbage chute because it's gone forever. I don't know where it goes. My understanding, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka.
Out of here.
Yeah. Like the golden goose thing.
Yeah.
So I am careful with that, let alone something I'm about to hand to a stranger who's giving me money.
Yeah, that you'll never see again.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I make sure the garbage chute's receiving the right product. This lady didn't even make sure a paying customer was receiving the right product. It's pretty incredible.
She said that I think she was cleaning up and she just like kind of like...
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm cleaning up my garbage and I still make sure that I'm throwing the right thing out.
Just chucked it in a box and was... She said that it was a bit heavier. The box was a bit heavier than usual. She assumed there was manuals and stuff in there. She's like, oh, this must be manuals.
No, they were batteries.
Yeah, give it a shake. Yeah. If your box starts going, that's not a Sega Mega
Drive.
Honestly,
best case scenario, you're throwing out your Oral-B toothbrush. That's the best case scenario there.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
David Attenborough's left Instagram. The world's granddad.
Didn't he just join?
Yep, weeks ago he joined. 94-year-old TV documentarian.
Yep.
Has got his bio now reading, account no longer active.
Oh. So he hasn't deleted it. He's not going to be using it.
Because what I find very interesting here is he wants to be able to continue to watch. He wants to leave it open so you can watch his old posts. So you can see David's messages. It says here,
okay,
a representative has said they want to keep it open so you can see David's messages. We hope it's a springboard for others to build on, share the ways. It might create a sustainable future.
I thought it meant he was going to become like an Instagram creep ghost where he was like, oh, I just want to keep looking at... I'm not going to post anymore.
No. Honestly, maybe. The account's still active.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's just not going to be posting new content.
Very good.
It's like he's announced to the world, my contract with Instagram has ended.
Yeah.
there won't be any new material.
I'm done.
I've cancelled a TV show known as My Instagram.
Yeah. It does scream to me of like, you know, on Facebook back in 2008 when people would leave Facebook and go, I'm leaving Facebook just so you know.
I don't know if you've seen Facebook recently, but Social Dilemma, a lot of people are doing that.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of people feeling...
Guys, not going to be contactable on here anymore. Yeah. Just going to have Messenger and Instagram and WhatsApp, not realizing they're all owned by Facebook.
It did
You're not leaving the teacher at all. You're still very much a part of the Facebook corporation.
I'm kind of glad I didn't watch The Social Network or Dilemma or whatever it was called, just because I don't want to have that in me to be like, oh, do I have to leave it now?
No, not really.
I'm so bored.
Just stop using it so often.
Yeah,
it's really the message of that show.
Yeah.
It's a good thing in moderation. The whole thing about The Social Dilemma was kind of like Cookie Monster's entire philosophy.
Too many cookies
it's a sometimes thing.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's a sometimes food.
Yeah, it's a sometimes food.
Social media is a sometimes thing.
Yeah.
Like you can use it to check in every now and again. Yeah. Maybe do it twice a day instead of twice every 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Look,
makes sense.
I don't know. What's David seen? That's my thing here. This is what's really... Because I woke up this morning, looked at Instagram, and there were thirst traps, some really, really offensive memes.
Your timeline.
Yeah, this is on my timeline. Right. Some nice photos of like friends and family, and then a couple of pictures of Labradors, because I follow a number of guide dog puppy Instagram accounts.
Cute.
What in there would have made David, you know, if he had a very similar flavor, do you reckon he saw a meme that was just too much? It was too dank. And he went, you know what? People shouldn't be making fun of stuff like that. And I've got to unfollow. I've got to get off Instagram.
I don't think it'd be posts. I think it'd be messages. I think that a lot of people thirst over Sir Attenborough.
Oh,
and I think that it's a lot for 96 getting
94.
Messages or 94 getting messages that would honestly make you feel like you were 96. Mm-hmm. I think that. At a certain point, that weighs on you, I reckon. And he's like, you know what? I can't. I know I'm seemingly the world's zaddy, but I just can't. I can't be here for this.
He's also such a gentleman and such a very prolific, you know, speaker and linguist, and uses words so well. So imagine when he gets one of those spam bot inboxes. It's like, come see my sexy cam show.
Yeah.
He's like, well, thank you very much for your message. Yeah. I won't be doing that. Yeah. And he's like, I can't keep replying to these all day, guys.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
I'm a little bit frustrated this morning because you and I obviously read some ads during the show. We check our emails.
Yeah.
Combination of reading the ads for all of the sales and checking my emails and seeing 16,000 to 17,000 Black Friday reminders.
Oh, yeah, it's Black Friday.
It is Black Friday tomorrow, and for the fourth year in a row, I'm mega shirty about it.
Why?
Because I completely forgot it was happening and have no money to spend on Black Friday. So I have not saved for Black Friday.
Yeah.
I always forget when it is because it's tied to Thanksgiving in the US.
And we don't celebrate
Thanksgiving. So I always forget that it's coming up.
Yeah.
It's not been ingrained in me since childhood when Thanksgiving is.
Yeah.
So I always forget when Black Friday is, and then everything is on sale, and we're talking like 40-50% off sales.
Yeah, I don't know why I was surprised before. I've been looking at it all morning.
I'm sitting here just going, jeez, that's... Damn it.
Yeah, you idiot.
I'm not going to be able to take advantage of any of this. I have no money.
And you don't have any money.
I don't have any money.
It's fresh out of cash.
I mean, I have savings that my dad looks after because I can't be trusted with my own money.
And you have money so for I'd like have food to go, and petrol, I'd have I'd to, imagine.
Yeah, but that's the money that's run out. So that's
the money that's run out.
So I get like an allowance from my own money so that I, because we get paid monthly. It's an absolute nightmare. So I can't.
Not for me, it's not.
Well, no, I can't manage it. I get given all of the month's pay in one go and I'm like, oh, woo!
Oh, God, look how much
money. Then second week in, I'm like, I can't buy food anymore.
Yeah.
And so I have to give it away to someone who looks after it. It's like my dad. Dad calls himself my business manager, but it's
do you
not,
pay him?
It's not enough money for that. Yeah. Sorry, what?
Do you pay him?
No, I don't.
So he's not anything.
He's not anything. He's the gatekeeper of my money, and he won't give me my own money for a Black Friday sale. But so I've forgotten again.
Yeah.
To save for this,
he's a great cash. He's a great cash manager, money handler, or whatever. If you should be able to, if you were a competent.
No.
You should be
so
able
no
to,
already.
You should be able to convince him. It's like, hey, I'm going to get so much stuff. If you're worried about my finances, money manager, this is the time that I should start buying up because I'm going to get so much more bang for my buck.
Let me just quickly tell you something about my dad here.
Yeah.
This is the man who's, when we first got our cat, the cat decided to use his cricket bag as a litter tray.
Okay.
And he played in that cricket gear for the whole season
because
he was too stingy to go and buy new pads.
Yeah.
So that's the man I would be saying, hey, give me money to buy stuff I don't need.
It's not a,
just because it's on sale. Yeah. He won't give me that money.
Are you really, I mean, once again, you said you don't pay him. He doesn't have an official title, but you've really picked the worst person to handle your cash if you
absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. But in a way, the best because this helps me. But
he's a money warden.
He is. My money's in prison. It's in money prison. He's the money warden and I can't get it out. Yeah. So that's fine. Just really, really need to remember Black Friday next year.
Because, mate. The sales that I am taking advantage of would blow your mind.
Don't even tell me.
I am buying up big.
This is at the time of year to get some great savings. And what I'm also now realizing, the time of year to reevaluate how many mailing lists I'm signed up to. Unsubscribe. That button's getting the workout today.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call Malaganis Edwards Johnson or visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.